Bishop, someone suggested they've been in a couple churches that have these 5-gallon water jugs, and at night they have kids carry them around, and you take the change out of your pocket and put it in there, and that's how they fund their mission conference. An interesting thing, amen. So I was telling about I always save my coins. I never carry coins in my pocket. I always have a place I put them. And I noticed that they weren't gaining anything. In fact, they're losing. And one day I said to Marcia, this is about maybe 3-4 years ago, I said, Marcia, I says, do you know, I said, I keep putting money in there. And she had a big smile on her face. And I says, are you taking that? She says, yeah. I said, what do you do with it? Well, she says, that shield I'm working on, eating soup or cracker or pop, those quarters really come in. She opened up her purse. She must have had $25 with my quarters in there. But you got to remember, once you're married. Mine is hers and hers is hers. Amen. All right. Don't you ever complain about your wife having money. You guys always ought to have some money for your wife put in her pocket. She ought to have something stashed away so she sees that really nice thing you need, like a new gun or something, she could buy it for you. All right. Always make sure your wife's got some money. Don't ever make her beg for money. Shame, shame, shame on you. Don't ever beg for money. Yes, brother. Well, I don't remember. I don't remember you telling me about it. It's would somebody give me. Go get his calendar. Everybody got your pen out? You know, the guy's gone for what, 3 or 4 weeks, haven't been in church. He comes back and just harassing me to death. I'll tell you. Praise God, brother. Look, now he's got to suck out all the oxygen there to help him out. He's got it out. 50. And I'm making some fireworks for you. There. Oh, I'll sign it. What's that? You really want to get me in trouble, don't you? You stick with working computers, so I'll stick with preaching, all right? All right, let's stand. Read God's Word tonight. We are so glad that Brother Roy and Carol are here. They're special people. And thank God for them. They've went through the thick and thin of Heritage Baptist Church, I'll tell you that much. It was because of him that we had Joe Mark have a place to preach in. He somehow got 4 mess tents, hooked 2 of them together, one side and 2 mess tents together for the nursery. And man, that, do you remember how hard that the ground was? Oh my goodness. Did you know I ran over a stake the other day? Last year, found a stake out there where we had it. It must be coming up. All right. Psalm 114. Although this psalm is not actually a hallelujah psalm, it's linked to the psalm 113. And it's sung before the Passover time, and so it's kind of interesting when you read it. Most Bible scholars believe. How many are too hot right now? You're hot. Where's my man? I'll turn that thing on a little bit. Or is it on? All right. It's on? It don't make no difference. Just give us some air. So this was, most Bible, don't turn those on. Just let that work. All right. Sorry about that, John. I should have cut you off at the pass. Most people, Bible commentators believe that this is one of the songs that Jesus Christ sang with his 11 disciples as they went out to the Mount of Olives. So it's quite an important psalm for us here. Most people believe that this was written, probably Hezekiah wrote this psalm, and very interesting. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange land, language. Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it. I heard an old preacher preach on that. When the sea saw it, amen. And fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, little hills like lambs. Where is thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. May God have the blessing of the Word of God as He always does. You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight about the roots of spiritual power. The roots of spiritual power. I don't know about you, but boy, I need all the power I can get. Amen. He talks about the separation that brings power. Our sanctification that brings power. And our surrender that brings power. Then the result. Secondly, the result of that spiritual power, things begin to happen. And when we're walking with God, we're invincible. Though we do not think that our work is done or finished, as long as we're doing what God wants to do, we're invincible. One man said, you're immortal till your job is done for God. You're immortal till your job is done. I know a lot of men go into war and realize that it could be it. But many of them, by the way, they take Psalm 144, that's a warrior psalm. They take that psalm and they read it and see what God has for them. But many of them go into that war realizing, my uncle did. Uncle Johnny, he was a World War II vet. He's flew a B-17G bomber and 33 missions many times in very, very critical conditions and problems. But he always felt, he said, I know my mom was praying for me. Thank God for mamas, amen. And then the obstacles will be removed, the opportunities will be revealed, and we're invulnerable. And then B, the throng begin to harden conviction and conversion. So let's have a word of prayer and let's look at Psalm 114. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to teach us these things. Teach us the Word of God so that we can walk closer to you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the promises and the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, every morning you read your Bible, do you write down the things God gives you? Every morning you ought to keep a little notebook or notepad, or maybe you have your Bible on the computer, and you ought to write down some things. I wish I would have brought some things that God really worked on my heart just last week, and how that God just keeps reminding me who He is and reminding me who I am. And this old guy just flesh, just made out of a bunch of dirt, mud, amen. But God, when He gets a hold of it, He can do some great things with it, amen. Well, the Passover and Exodus mark Israel's birthday as a nation. Psalm 114 is a song of the Exodus. The Passover participated in the Exodus, and it started, and then they left. It was the shedding of the blood of the Passover lamb that did what? It protected the Israelites. It protected them when the avenging angel spread his wings, the death angel, into Egypt. And you remember the story. The children of Israel, God said, don't come out of your door. And make sure you take a lamb and you take that lamb and you slit its throat and you get the blood. And you take a reed of hyssop. Hyssop's kind of like our sagebrush. It's all over that area of Egypt. And you go up and you put it across the sides, up and down, and you stay in. And the death angel's coming through. And, of course, you remember the howling and the weeping and the crying and the mourning of the Egyptians because their firstborn was dead. Now, that was very significant. A lot of people don't understand that, but very significant. So the firstborn is always a god back in those days. They were a god. If you're the firstborn in the family, you are a god if you're in Egypt. How many are firstborns? Well, I'm glad we're not in Egypt. Sorry. From the 6th century onward, it was established, the church has used this psalm in ministering to the dying and at the burial of the dead. And the church liturgy was used here to point to the psalm for Easter Day. And because Israel delivered from the bondage of sin, the type of deliverance of our bondage of sin. Thank God for that. Amen. And God raised from the grave and gave us deliverance from our bondage of sin. You didn't have that before then. People in the Jews, they didn't have that before Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Their sins were covered, but those sins were not forgiven and forgotten. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. So this lesson is a history lesson. God does not want us to forget the lesson of history. And the Jews always regarded their deliverance from Egypt as the greatest fact in history, and God would have us recall Calvary the same way. I don't know about you, but this week has been a great week. After Easter, and this week, just seems like this week, it just carries on, amen. What a wonderful time. Just think, since Easter, Thomas has not believed yet. It's going to be Sunday night, and he'll believe. 2 weeks, that's a long time to not know that your Savior is risen from the grave. It's not fun to not be assured of your salvation. It's not an easy thing for always questioning whether or not God actually did save you. And the children of Israel use this to remind themselves of the Exodus. And, of course, we ought to remind ourselves that Jesus Christ truly raised from the grave. And for those who trust Him as our personal Savior, we have the hope and glory. Well, you can look at this short psalm in several ways. First, we can go back to and expound the history that speaks of the miracles that he recalls here, 1 and 2, the methods recounted, the moral record. And secondly, we can go back to see nature, quelling the nature question. Third, we can study the psalm in the light of the miracle that recalls the water. A miracle at the Red Sea, the water miracle at Jordan, at Horeb, and at Kadesh. And since we have the one at Kadesh gets me so excited because the Bible said that he brought water out of the flint rock. Flint is one of the hardest rocks there is. And some of you boys or girls have tried to light fires with flint, or you take your vitamin Flintstones in the morning like I do. Them are good, man. I got some chewables, man, them are really good, amen. So I'm have it. But anyway, but to think that God said to Moses, speak to the rock, and Moses, of course, got upset. And this is when the people really ruined Moses' chance. You ought to be very careful how you treat your leader and how do you encourage him. Now, I'm talking not only your pastor, I'm talking about the guys at work and guys and ladies at work that are ahead of you. You got to be very careful how you treat those people. You can really be a thorn in the flesh. You got to be very kind how you, if something's wrong, you got to be kind about it and say, no, I can't do this, but I want you to know that I respect you, but I can't do that. Instead of saying, well, you dirtbag, who do you think you are? You can do that. But Jesus lost an opportunity to tell him about Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe that's what we're here for. Amen. Amen. That's what we're here for. Well, since we have gone overall, the ground orate several times in these psalms I've done, will simply note that there is expound this psalm. Fourth, we are carrying this psalm forward to the future to dwell in the prophetic element on its obvious suitable as a song of millennial age to come. I don't know about you, but boy, I've been reading about the millennium. It's going to be an amazing thing. The Bible says that God is going to just get rid of Satan, going to cast him in the bottomless pit, and he will be chained there for 1,000 years. Never to bother us for 1,000 years. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. I am inundated constantly by Satan and his demons, and also myself. And a lot of times I hate to give Satan the credit for my stupidity. Satan made me do that. No, stupid, you did it yourself. You know, but anyway. And fifth, setting aside such a temptation, we can see what lesson the psalm has already for us today. That is how we're going to explore it. First of all, let's look at the root of spiritual power, 1 and 2. Look at what it says in Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt and the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. This first two verses, we see a spiritual power, these three prerequisites. God does not invest his power to everyone who comes demanding it. A first principle is obtained power from God is, first of all, separation. There is a separation that we need to be. There should be a difference in our lives compared to our neighbors' lives that do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from the power of the strange language, the first secret of spiritual power is separation. Long before Israel learned that lesson at Red Sea, God had begun separating the people and making a difference between his people and the people of Egypt. For instance, when a 3-day darkness covered Egypt, we read that the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. Exodus 10:23. They had light for 3 days. They were the children of light. Good! Boy, you're really thinking there tonight, Ava. I'm sorry I hurt you so bad in the back pocket with mission conference. You're forgetting all the other stuff, amen. Now, here's children of light. What are we? We're children of light. We're not children of darkness. Your neighbor that has not accepted Christ as personal saving, you've prayed and you've begged God to give you an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord, and you've tried every way you can to be kind to them so that they can hear about Jesus Christ. You are a light. That's what the Bible says. Don't hide that light under a bushel. You know, that city that's set up on a hill. Supposed to shine forth. The psalmist here refers to the exodus from Egypt, not the exodus from Babylon. The two experiences are dissimilar. The exodus of Egypt was a total exodus, but the Babylonian exodus was what? Partial. There are some people that say, we live here. We're okay. We'll just stay right here. We're very accustomed. When they exited out of Egypt, everybody left. Everybody. In fact, many of the Egyptians left with them. A lot of people don't understand that, but they did. They left with them. The exodus from Egypt was from slavery. And the exodus from Babylon was from prosperity. They were doing very well. The exodus from Egypt was an act of power. The exodus from Babylon was an answer to prayer. You may leave. The exodus from Egypt was, get out! We're sick and tired of you! Get out! In one case, the king acted grudgingly and tried to hinder them. In the other case, the king acted graciously and even helped them. Both of these movements of Israel's history illustrates God's way in the power of the world. Let me tell you something. God can still work He can still work on your neighbor. He can still work on your boss. He can still work on that guy that works for you and you're the boss of him. God can still work. Quitting praying. Pray. Ask God. You say, but ask God for the simplest things. Just the minute things. Maybe you got a son that's in trouble. Maybe you got a daughter that's in trouble. Maybe you got a dad or a mom or a brother or sister or something's going on. Hey, pray for them. Don't give up. Don't give up on them. And don't be so crotchety that they can't get around you. I don't blame them not wanting to go to church the way you act. I've told the story about Annabelle and Claude. Annabelle, for a long time, and for about a year, I thought she was a really upstanding Christian in my church. So her husband took me fishing and told me what a battle axe and a witch she was. Well, that's good. I said, Claude, why don't you go to church? He said, I wouldn't go with her. I'm embarrassed the way she acts and talks about the members of that church. Well, we became friends. I even baptized old Claude. And Claude started coming to church. And Annabelle had to shut her mouth because Claude said, that's enough out of you. That was before Facebook. Huh? What'd that call it?
Faith page,
yeah. Don't put stuff on there. Shame on you. But anyway. I saw a couple the other day on that thing. Broke my heart. He was a pastor. He had his daughter dressed up like a little harlot. The Bible says you show your thighs. That's the sign of a harlot. Here she is standing there like this, showing herself off. Sleeveless dress, showing everything else. And I thought, good night. How things have changed the last 5 years. You ain't a preacher now, so now you live like the world. Shame on you. That's bad. Well, that really helped me follow Christ. Sorry. In the case of the bad one, Exodus, only a minority of people of God went back. It was easier for them to stay where the money was than to go where God wanted them to go. And that can be vice versa. I've seen people that go because they think the money is the deal. I know hundreds of people going out to North Dakota. You know, boy, just get North Dakota, boy. We just get North, get big bucks. I know a guy right now, he's been in North Dakota for 3 months, hadn't seen his wife, hadn't seen his two little boys. I mean, little boy, little girl. Boy, that's really a great deal. That's why you got married, to be away from her. I can understand war, but I can't understand why getting a job just taking off. Bless God, get 2-3 jobs, you have to do it. But at least you can be home, climb in bed with your wife at night, amen? Or in the morning, whatever it takes. What's wrong with us? You get married to stay together. Oh, I got to make the big bucks. I want to ask him, well, how are you doing? Fuel prices coming all the way across country, coming back. My wife has to work, so she's paying money to people to take care of the kids. How are you doing? Well, we aren't doing as good as we was when I wasn't working out. But I can't quit it because there's a lot of good money out there. You're an idiot. But anyway, just thought I'd let you know how I feel. In Jesus' love. Soft answer, turn away from much wrath. Hey, people. Oh, my goodness, I'm 5 minutes over. I'm sorry. Let's stand. Hey, will you just live for Jesus? Just give it a try. It might not hurt you. Give it a try and say howdy to your neighbor, but not 6 o'clock in the morning banging your garbage cans and firing up your big old Harley and, hey, good morning! Shut up, man, my wife's asleep. Read the Proverbs. It says that in the Proverbs. Don't. But anyway, y'all know about that. Man, I went around the world a couple times tonight, didn't I? And I still got a penny in my pocket. I should have gave it. I'm convicted now. Serve the Lord with gladness. Happy, happy, happy. Be happy about serving God. Read your Bible every day. I'm not talking about sitting down for 4 hours and getting out your Strong's Concordance or reading out of the Greek or out of the Hebrew. I'm not talking about that. Just get in your Bible and read a couple verses and let it just get you excited. This morning I sat down, the third verse I got, it just fired me up. I said, that's it right there. I wrote it down, man. Happy day, happy day, happy day. I've been happy ever since, man. I've been plugged in today, if you haven't figured that one out, amen. So, praise the Lord. Pray for our families and church. Pray for Fern. She's on her way to a funeral for her brother-in-law. And that God would certainly be able to pray for our folks that have been sick. That God would heal our body and strengthen them. Amen. And thank God the fervor back. Amen. And thank God Roy and Carol got to come to church tonight. Thank God that Diana's here. How you doing, Diana? Good. Doing better? Praise the Lord. Amen. What? Tomorrow's your birthday. Anybody else's birthday this week? Did you get my text?
I did. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. You're Smith.